Hey everybody, this is Warren Sharp, NFL analyst over at Sharp Football Analysis. I want to welcome you to the Ringer Gambling Show. Join me on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays each week during the NFL season with guests Chris Vernon, Ben Solak, and Joe House to guide you through the NFL betting landscape. We'll be talking spreads, game totals, parlays, player props, futures, and much, much more. Be sure to follow the Ringer Gambling Show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Taste buds, my hungry homies, my famished friends, we're back! This is House of Carbs, one of the food podcasts on the Ringer Podcast Network, on the Ringer Food Channel, brand spanking new. If you heard the debut episode, the triumphant return of House of Carbs, earlier this week, you know we're in the middle of a gridiron gobble fest. We are taking all the playoff teams, all the playoff cities across these United States competing in the football professional playoffs, headed towards a Super Bowl, and we are eating those cities. We're identifying the iconic food items from those cities. We are doing our best to separate the wheat from the chaff. Look, there's only one way that we get down here on House of Carbs. Of course, the Chief Operations Officer, C-Money, Craig Horlbeck, is on the ones and twos sitting right here. But, my friends, look, we have to go into the Wayback Machine. We are getting one of our OG belly buddies. This man right here is the Brigadier General of Bing Bong, David Jacoby. Welcome to House of Carbs.
Bing bong. You have no idea how excited I am for this assignment. And I take everything I do professionally seriously. And when I heard about this job, I got scared. I got nervous. I will take this so seriously. Like, I'm not messing around. This is my focus for the next 6 weeks, is breaking down these foods and these cities' signature foods. Simple as that.
Well, I don't think it'll take 6 weeks, but I'm happy to have you along for the ride. Welcome to the Ringer Food Network, by the way. I know you and Juliet Littman are cooking up the food news again.
Oh, food news is back. And we're not just back. We're back bigger, better, stronger, and foodier than ever.
2022 is going to be a hell of a belly year. So let's just jump into that belly. So let me run you through a couple of considerations just to set the table of how we're going to take this thing down. Now, first of all, the challenge in front of us tonight, David Jacoby, we have seven cities from the American Football Conference, the AFC, and we are going to take seven and turn it into four. Not everybody can go through. This is just like how they do it in the NFL playoffs. And we are matching up the actual cities that are actually competing in the AFC, in the wild card, this wild card, wild belly weekend, where those are going to be the head-to-heads. Now, one gating item in the first place, Tennessee gets a bye. I will ask you in a minute whether or not you agree that Tennessee deserves a bye. But let's just run through the criteria super fast that we're using. And if you have any suggestions about other things for us to consider, I'm all ears. I mean, I'm all about belly sourcing here on House of Carbs, Jacobs. But look, here's what the judging criteria we had in mind for distinguishing these cities and the iconic food items. So the very first question, is there an identifiable or iconic food item, meal, beverage that emanates from that city that's associated with that city? Does everybody know that that food item, that meal, that beverage belongs to that city? Is the item available throughout the city?
I will honestly say that every single city, save for one, which we will get to, had iconic food from that city. Every single one, save for one, and we'll get to it, has iconic food.
And so the other consideration is, if you're going to that city for the first time, do you have to sample that item? Is it a must eat? Is it a does your belly have to be visited by that item? So those are our gating criteria.
We all live our lives in our own ways, but the way I live my life, and I'm sure you do too as well, Mr. House, is when I go to a city, I eat the signature food.
Yeah. That's right.
Is style. If I travel a lot for work, you travel a lot as well. When I go to the city, I eat the signature food. We'll find out through this process which signature food is better.
Yeah, we're gonna. And so here's the thing. Let's go ahead and dispense with the Tennessee question in the first place, right? So Tennessee, what we've selected as the iconic food item, we didn't select it. Tennessee itself, Nashville, Tennessee, selected this food item. It's been on their scene for, we're coming up on 100 years since the advent of hot chicken. C-Muddy, give us a quick hit on the history of the hot chicken in Tennessee.
Yeah, really funny story. There was an article written on The Ringer that you can go find out about the history of the hot chicken in Nashville. But it essentially was started in the 30s. And the current owner of the place is Andre Prince Jeffries, right? That's the owner of the most famous hot chicken spot, Prince's, in Nashville. But the story is her great uncle Thornton was kind of a womanizer. And after a wild couple of nights, his girlfriend was like, all right, I'm going to make him dinner tonight, but I'm going to mess with him. I'm going to combine the hottest ingredients I can find and ruin his dinner. And he loved it. She threw like cayenne pepper, mustard seed, chili powder, everything you can imagine on it. He loved it, opened a store, opened a restaurant, and now it's the most famous food item in Nashville.
Well, a couple of things that need to be said before we move on is Danny Chow wrote an article about this food item that was so long that even I couldn't read it. And I
know TLDR.
I'm good at like 1,000 words. We need 2,000 words. I don't know. I'm done. But I need to give a shout to Jenny Chow, who is the god of hot chicken in Nashville.
He really is. And speaking of OG belly buddies, Danny Chow living his best life in Toronto, Canada right now, Jacobs.
That's right.
Who isn't living their best life in Toronto?
It's a great question. Yeah. So speaking of living our best lives, do you agree that Tennessee has earned the bye in the football playoffs? Do we agree that Tennessee deserves a bye in our food fracas as well?
It's a great question. I appreciate that you asked it, but I will say that there are people in Nashville, Tennessee right now that are disappointed about this conversation because they're saying, oh, wait, you're doing like a hot chicken sandwich? You're doing hot chicken? Because there's such good vinegar-based barbecue in Nashville that's being disregarded. But you know what I'm going to say out loud? We'll disregard them. It's a hot chicken. That is the taste of Nashville.
Yes. Yeah, good. We're in agreement about that. I mean, part of the thing when I was thinking about Tennessee, now I've been to Memphis. I have not spent a lot of time in Nashville. But Memphis barbecue, that's its whole own separate topic. We would get Verno on here to help us break it down. I've eaten Memphis barbecue with Chris Vernon Verno. But that's just another city in Tennessee. We're talking about Nashville. That's where the Titans play. The iconic food item is the hot chicken.
Yeah.
They deserve a bye. The football team earned a bye. The hot chicken got the bye. Is that right, Jacoby?
I would say the hot chicken deserves a bye. The football team does not deserve a bye, even though they are not a football podcast, but I would say that as a food podcast, yes, the hot chicken deserves a pass no matter what, but the football team, we'll see about that.
So one last sort of set the table item for you. And I think I can guess the answer. Have you been to all of the cities that are involved in this Gridiron Gobble Fest? Have you visited these cities?
Bro, I've been every.
I know. That's why I said I thought I knew the answer.
Everywhere. And that is why I'm so excited about this project. Not just this journey, this Oedipus thing that we're going to go on. Like, we're going to find out what city has the best signature food on this podcast. And I am the right person to talk to about it, because I've literally been to every city in America.
Okay. Well, let's dive right in. The first matchup of the AFC conference wild card weekend. I think it's the first game on the entire slate. It's Saturday afternoon.
That's right.
The Cincinnati Bengals are hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, we're immediately presented with a food conundrum, a true dilemma.
This is a fork in the road thing with Vegas.
A dietary dilemma, huh?
It's honestly like with Vegas, it's like, you know, when you're on a highway, it's like, oh, wait, we have exit 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 are all within a quarter mile. That's what Vegas is in terms of food.
I think I know where you're going with that, but I'm not picking up the entirety of it.
Vegas has every single signature restaurant from every city in Vegas. So it's hard to pick a singular thing.
Yeah. Their signature is that they're a little bit of everything, that they're like the entire country, even like the world in certain areas, like mashed into one little street. They're known for like celebrity chefs, if anything, right?
C-Money, in your research, was there any item or couple items or experience in Vegas that you could drill down into and say, oh, well, at least this thing has been there, you know, 30 years or 40 years or 50 years.
I got a couple.
Okay. Let's hear it.
The shrimp cocktail. Most people claim that it was invented in California in the 19th century, but the Golden Gate Hotel in Vegas was the first to offer a 50-cent shrimp cocktail in 1959, you know, in the little tulip glass with the cocktail sauce. So we got that. That's the number one nominee. The second other food situation that is kind of somewhat Vegas famous is the buffet, which again, is kind of a cop-out. We probably couldn't pick that. But the buffet, they didn't start the buffet. The buffet's been around for a long time. But the tagline, all you can eat buffet, was credited to the Las Vegas entertainment manager, Herbert McDonald.
Yeah.
So that's what Vegas has for us.
The AC, the AYCE.
Great research from who formerly was Craig and who is now C-Money. Great research.
He's our chief operations officer. What do you expect?
Well, the shrimp cocktail to me is St. Elmo's in Indianapolis.
Yeah, right. I mean, there are iconic shrimp cocktails across these United States. Nobody says that I had the iconic shrimp cocktail in Las Vegas.
Be in this conversation, if it was the Jaguars.
Oh, my God.
$200 on them.
Son of a... We're not talking about the Colts. That cost a lot of people in a lot of different ways.
But, Craig, you made a good point. Like, I feel like the signature, like, dish of Vegas is it not the buffet?
Yeah.
It's the experience.
Which, like, now, how are we going to taste test a buffet next week? I mean, even though it's going up against Cincinnati, it's probably still going to take the L. I don't know. Would Vegas beat any city in the NFL?
Oh, in terms of food?
Not football. No,
this is going to be a big spoiler. But I feel like there are signature dishes that belong to cities that would blow a buffet out the water. But I'm not going to even speak on those, because this is something that we will speak on over the course of this relationship.
The only other thing I'll say that Vegas has going for it, and this was volunteered to me by a pal short while ago, the iconic like consumption experience in Vegas is sitting at a table and getting free drinks brought to you. Not free drinks, but the drinks at the table is the iconic, like, you know, beverage experience in Vegas. Do you guys, I mean, I think that's right.
Well, one thing that's great about Vegas is, like, at a certain point when you sit at the blackjack table, like, did I earn myself a free buffet? Did I earn myself a free room? Did I earn myself a free suite? And this is like, when you earn yourself a free buffet, you've basically lost $200.
That's it. That's right.
Yeah. Paying the pit boss, be like, bro, I need something out of this. And he's like, fine. Here's your $15 buffet. Here you go.
But they don't bring, they're bringing the drinks as soon as you sit as soon as your ass hits the chair. Like, you don't have to do anything to earn the free drinks. Next city. Well, the next city is the team they're competing against, the Cincinnati Bengals. C-Money.
All right. So the most notable item in Cincinnati is Skyline Chili, which is It's a chili containing like chocolate and cinnamon. So like it's a little sweet, but it's essentially chili that is topped over unseasoned spaghetti with a giant, ginormous mountain of shredded cheese thrown on top.
I know you want to take this, but can I take this one?
Oh, I want you to. I haven't been to, I've been to Cincinnati. I have not had the chili.
Oh,
I, not oh, there. Oh, I've not
had the
there.
Full Skyline Chili experience.
And great.
Know, oh.
Unpopular opinion. It's delicious.
Oh.
Honestly, nationwide, people act like this is not delicious. This is an excellent culinary experience. I support the Skyline Chili. Not only that, is there's a Skyline Chili. I don't think it exists anymore. There was a Skyline Chili right next to where Dave Letterman did Late Night, and it is amazing. I love spaghetti base, chili top, raw onions. Raw onions is very important. Not like, you know, in a cheese top. I support Skyline Chili. I support Cincinnati over Vegas.
So you just argued for the four-way. There's also the five-way. You can get the beans in there as well, I understand. If you add beans, then that's having it five-way.
You can add kidney beans, but the chili itself is only meat, spices, and water. No beans in the chili.
And C-Money, we're referring to it as Skyline Chili because Skyline is one of the two most popular, most famous places. There's another place that has a claim to fame. I think it's called Gold. I don't remember. I don't have it off the top of my head.
Oh, the only one I really found was Skyline. That was the one that jumped off the page.
There's another place that also lays claim to being a purveyor of the Cincinnati style of chili. And you know, they're in fierce competition with Skyline at all times. But I don't think it's inappropriate to simply identify the Cincinnati chili as a Skyline chili. Now, I as an East Coaster, have had the good fortune of enjoying chili from all different walks of life, all different styles. The Cincinnati chili, you have to, like, you know, be at a place that says we're going to serve you. You have a lot of different options in terms of your chili choices. Cincinnati style is one of them. And I've tried it. Now it feels to me like a palate cleanser. If you're going to sit down and go through a bunch of chilies,
the
reason I say that is because it's
like
sweet.
Like a Skyline chili is like an amuse bouche for you.
I'm saying it. That's what I'm saying. Yes, because of the lack of pepper. There, it doesn't have the heat. It has it gives you the sweet hit.
I love that take. I love that.
Right?
It is not hot chili. It is a mild chili. And we'll find out when we do Nashville. I like hot. It is a mild chili, but it also is like when you put that much noodles and that much carbs, it like dilutes the whole chili experience. I like where your head's at, Mr. House.
Can I say one thing?
Please.
We're spending way too much time on Vegas and Cincinnati. We got a lot of better.
You're the producer. Move us on.
Cincinnati gets the dub. Moving on to the taste test round two.
Well, this is by far the most challenging matchup of the entire, of both the NFC and the AFC. This is New England against Buffalo. This is clam chowder against Buffalo wings. I don't know what we're going to do. I feel like I'm going to punt. I'm going to literally punt to our guest, to David Jacoby, the OG, Belly Buddy. I mean, I don't know where to begin in trying to break this one down.
Well, a couple things. Number one, I thought I was a co-host and not a guest, but I appreciate that. And I will say that I have been, my dad lives in Boston, so I've been there many times. I've spent a stint in Buffalo as well. I literally broke a folding table with my...
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It's on the internet.
And I would say that beans are not part of Boston's culture. My dad has lived there since I was... Fucking? I can say fucking, right?
Yeah, we got the E, bro.
He was fucking eight... Since I was fucking 8 years old, and beans are not offered anywhere. So the whole bean thing doesn't exist. But the clam chowder is the signature dish of Boston, Massachusetts. However, when you put it up against a buffalo wing, are you kidding me? Is that even a competition? Like, what are we doing? Wow. Are we putting a featherweight against Tyson Fury? Like, what are we even talking about? There is no contest. The buffalo wing is the number one seed in anything that we're doing. It's called the buffalo wing. There's buffalo sauce. Like, every city you go to has a buffalo wing. So like, it's not even a question. It's just much like the matchup between the two football teams. This is a blowout.
Who do you have winning the football game?
Sounds like Buffalo, as do I.
It does sound like you have Buffalo.
Yeah. I mean, close.
Well, you're a sport television sports personality. Did you already pick Buffalo?
Also, gambling is legal in New York City.
That's right.
Congratulations. Just this week, heavy, son of a gun.
But I will say, Mr. House.
Yeah.
When you think about Boston, clam chowder, it's like an appetizer. It's like an amuse-bouche. It's like something.
It's a nice thing.
But when you think of buffalo wings, you can order buffalo wings in every single city and small town you've ever visited.
See, I thought you were going to come at this with, I need to be more generous and gracious in this new year, 2022. I thought you were going to do a full mass hole on us. I was positive you were going to come loaded with some Boston chowder BS. We were going to have to hear about Faneuil Hall and Chatham and, you know, the harbor and all the rest.
Chatham right in the elbow. Love some Chatham. Great ball.
But, you know, let's move on. It's the Buffalo wing. It feels it's like Buffalo. this whole competition.
They don't serve New England clam chowder in every city in America. They
kind of do. A lot of cities they do.
Yo, go to Scottsdale, Arizona, and ask for some effing clam chowder. Go ahead.
Good point. Yeah. Fair point.
Some buffalo wings, it'll be there.
Well, we don't have to spend much time then, and we can move on. Now, this next one, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers going up against the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's kind of unexpected. Like, we weren't super prepared as we were envisioning the development of the show. We were working hard over the weekend to line up our Indianapolis. It could have been the St. Elmo shrimp. It could have been the pork tenderloin, the breaded pork tenderloin sandwich. We were like really going through this, and the effing Colts went down to Jacksonville, and the horny urban Jacksonville Jaguars just whooped their ass. They whooped that ass. So here we are. It's Pittsburgh. It's the real OG. It's Ben and Tomlin once again back to the playoffs. It kind of feels right. If Big Ben's going to exit stage left, let him go out by way of the playoffs, which means we get to talk about Pramonte Brothers. Now, my question to you, you've been to every city in America. It's been well established. Have you had the Pramonte Brothers in Pittsburgh?
First of all, I love you very much, Mr. House. And we have a long relationship. But
I don't like where this is going.
But don't insult me. When I say I've been to every American city, I've tasted every American city's food. So when you say like, oh, have you had the same? Of course I have. And you know what? I didn't enjoy it.
Oh,
I did not.
Thanks.
I do not want French fries in my sandwich. I do not want, I'll take potato chips in a tuna melt.
Yeah.
I would love something like that. But like,
yeah.
Don't you dare insult me by asking if I've had it. You know what I did? I had three bites of it and I bailed.
Oh!
And I bailed. And to all of the listeners in Pittsburgh, I love the city. I've had a lot of great times, but I will not say anything.
I will say I, my own self, was in Pittsburgh less than a year ago, and I went down to the what's called the industrial or the strip, I don't know, and had an unbelievable Spanish meal and an unbelievable Italian meal. I have in my life had the Pramonte Brothers. I have a radically different view of the Pramonte Brothers sandwiches. Now, the thing is, I wonder what filling, what meat was on your, do you remember what meat was in your Pramonte? Because, you know, you can, there's a whole giant menu of stuff that you can order.
Turkey.
Okay. All right.
We should back up though, because people probably don't know what he's, if people have never been there, they don't know what he's talking about with the French fries. Pramonte's thing is that it's meat, cheese, their house-made oil and vinegar coleslaw, and French fries are on the sandwich. That is like a guarantee. And it's been around for like almost 100 years in Pittsburgh.
Greg, I'm so glad you're here. That was a great thing to say. But I will say that I support coleslaw and sandwiches. I do not support French fries and sandwiches.
I actually like French fries inside other vessels. I love French fries in a California burrito. I went to school in San Diego. I'm from California. I love French fries in a burrito. I think it's amazing. A Crunchwrap with French fries. I don't mind it on the sandwich.
We're not friends anymore, Craig.
What? Jacoby, what's the objection? Let's go through it. Let's
together, bro. We were like, we connected. We are disconnected now. No.
Jacoby. Have you ever had a California burrito with French fries in it?
No.
Then you've never been to San Diego. I thought you'd been to every city and had the signature food.
I've been to San Diego. Gaslight District, please. I've regretted
Gas Lamp.
A lot of things I did in the Gaslight District.
Gaslight. So what is the objection, though, Jacoby? Is it, do you feel like it's incongruous? Do you feel like there's a disconnect? There's a lack of harmony? Is that your thesis?
First of all, I love the people of Pittsburgh. I love Pittsburgh so much. However, I do not love to have trouble biting into my sandwich. I don't want to look at my sandwich and be like, how do I do this logistically?
Okay. Good point.
Handle this? It's just like my mouth doesn't open that wide. There's like a lot of layers. And I just feel like that particular sandwich challenged me in a way that I'm too sensitive to accept as something I'll enjoy.
We're saying this is a little bit of something about you. It's not a criticism necessarily.
Not a them problem. It's a me problem. I'm not man enough for that sandwich.
Okay. All right. I mean, look, part of, in addition to the fillings, it is on Italian bread. It's two slices of fairly thick Italian bread, which is important for soaking up the jus and all of the rest that emanates.
The oil and the vinegar, yeah.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that is part of the experience, but I get what you're saying.
Mr. House, I'm not man enough for that sandwich. There are people that are. I know who I am. My self-awareness is at a level where, like, that sandwich is not for me.
Okay. All right. We'll accept it. C-Money, is there anything else about the history that we should know? I think there are a bunch of locations now.
Yeah, there's 37 restaurants. Nine of them are in Pittsburgh. Yeah, they're doing well.
Yeah.
Primanti Brothers really cashed out.
A lot of...
But I have some... There's a reason why the fries are in the sandwich. It was an old truck stop spot for guys to come and eat. And they were in a hurry and they wanted to eat and drive at the same time. So rather than have fries on the side, they put them on the sandwich.
Well, you're making a gesture. I don't understand. Does that mean you're spitting it out?
Oh, no. I'm really good at being in triple boxes and quadruple boxes. I was giving him a kiss.
It was a kiss. Like, chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Got it. That is important information and it does help make some sense. I mean, you can think about, that portion of Pennsylvania on a trucking route into the Midwest, right? And truckers going through there and wanting a single, a meal that can hold in one hand and the steering wheel with the other.
If you're a trucker and you grab that sandwich, that's like that'll carry you through 72 hours of driving.
And that's what we want, right? We want our the nation's trucking system driving for 72 hours.
No French fries in my sandwich. That's too much carbs. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, it sounds like we have a lean. Let's talk about Kansas City barbecue. I have not been to Kansas City, Missouri, or Kansas City, Kansas.
What?
I have not.
What?
In my whole life, I have not.
Oh, guess what? House, I've been there 7 times for both of us. I know about other brands. I know about Jack Stacks. I've been inside Hayward's. I've been in the smokehouse before. They invited us inside the smokehouse. I've been to Kansas City enough times and had Kansas City barbecue that I can speak for it for both of us. Number one, don't play. Arthur Bryant's is easily the best.
Okay.
Well, what's good about that is if this moves on, if Kansas City wins, which it probably will, what's a bigger spread? What's a bigger spread? The football Chiefs versus the football Steelers or the food Chiefs versus the food Steelers? What's a bigger spread? I think it's probably barbecue over the Primanti Brothers.
Kansas City barbecue. House, have you ever met a gentleman by the name of Bill Simmons?
I'm familiar with his work. Yes, indeed.
One time we went to Jack Stacks and I don't think they knew who he was. This is before I was a person. And okay. I don't think they knew who he was, but we just ate. Yeah. We were ordering stuff. And they took us in the back and they showed us the smoker. And like the smoker was like, is honestly like a, it's like watching Michelangelo have a draft for the Sistine Chapel. Like, it's like, here's what I'm thinking. And this is what I'm going to do. And honestly, when they open up the smoker I was like, whoa, like this is how the, not just the sausage is made, this is how the burnt ends and the ribs and the brisket and every sips on the chicken, how the chicken is made. They brought us into the back and showed us how it works. And like, honestly, I can't talk about other food beyond.
See, Money, give us a little bit of history. You know, how did they come up with their particular approach? You know, it definitely differs from other regions in the country in their approach to barbecue. Let's hear a little bit of the background.
So the Kansas City barbecue is like slow smoked meats, started in the early 20th century by this guy, Henry Perry. And he eventually, somebody who worked for him ended up turning into Arthur Bryant's. But it's the sauce. It's like a thick tomato-based sauce that's sweet and spicy. It's got like the honey, the molasses, vinegar and spices and all that stuff, the dry rub, slow smoked. So that's kind of what makes it stand out. But the burnt ends, it's the burnt ends, right? That is like the signature thing that you get. That's what we're going to taste test next week. Jacoby, burnt ends, talk to me.
As a novice, I'm from, you know, Massachusetts and New York.
Yeah.
And I've never ordered burnt ends. Why would I ever order burnt ends? But we had burnt ends for dessert in Kansas City. And I didn't realize that was a dessert item. Burnt ends are officially dessert in Kansas City. Do you know why?
Why?
They're so soft. They're so nothing. Like it literally, it's nothing in your mouth. It's have you ever had like Craig, Joe, answer this question. Yes or no question. Have you ever drank water?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to have to say yes to that. Yes.
The burnt ends in Kansas City are the exact same experience. Exact same experience. It's like, I would never order burnt ends on a menu, but in Kansas City, they gave them to us and it is drinking meat water, which sounds gross, which is the best experience of your whole entire life.
I'm imagining it. Now, you and I were together in Austin, Texas, and enjoyed, and were we together? Were you there? Yes.
Bro, I was there. I forgot I was there.
No, and we had an unbelievable Texas barbecue experience, and some of the way that the folks who were hosting us serve the first bites of brisket. We got like this very, very outside tenderest part, and it was like a meat butter experience. It was melting. It literally melted in our mouths. Is that the way the burnt ends behave?
Burnt ends in Kansas City are not a meat butter experience. They're a meat water experience.
I don't know if that's a good thing. People don't associate much taste with water.
Drink the burnt ends in Kansas City.
Well, what's the drink? What's it going to taste like?
Bro.
Not water.
Like, it's going to taste like pepper.
Okay.
Pork.
Yeah. Good.
Cayenne.
Okay. That sounds magical. I feel like we've got our answer. The Kansas City barbecue is triumphing over the Pittsburgh Primanti Brothers sandwich. Now, Jacoby, here's the last task in front of us. We've now whittled this down to four food items, four iconic food cities. We're going to seed them 1 through 4 so that we can have head-to-head matchups next week.
Now, this is a stacked lineup.
This is tough. That's exactly right. We have, just to remind everybody, we have Buffalo Wings, we have Kansas City Barbecue, we have Tennessee Hot Chicken, and we have Cincinnati Chili. I think we can all agree that... Please, go ahead.
I want the people listening to know that Joe House is doing this with a professional microphone that he holds like right next to his mouth, and also like a Madonna microphone attached to his headset, which is like it's really redundant. But I just want everyone to know that's listening to this that he's double microphoning.
He's got the like 14-year-old Xbox Call of Duty situation.
That's so I can hear the two of you. And then the professional microphone is for the dulcet tones that I like to deliver to all the taste buds. You understand how we get down, Jacoby?
I love you so much and I miss you so much. I'm so glad to hear this next week.
All right, let's seed the food. Let's seed the food. Number four, I think, is easy. The four chili. Seed here is chili, the Cincinnati chili, right?
Which I love. I love it. Underrated.
Underrated.
Frisky four seed. Yeah.
What's the one seed, Jacoby? I'll give you first dibs. What's the one seed?
I thought you were going to say Buffalo. I thought you were nuts about the Buffalo wing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? I've been to Kansas City. I've been to Buffalo. It's Kansas City barbecue.
Okay. Kansas City. So Jacoby says Kansas City 1, Cincinnati 4. Craig, what do you say?
I think I'm going to go KC 1, Buffalo 2, Hot Chicken 3, really, really frisky 3, though, and then Cincy 4.
Okay. Now, let me think if I have a different opinion. I kind of want to argue for Buffalo in the one hole.
I think Buffalo might be a one seed. I've been to Buffalo, though. And when I've been to Buffalo, you can go to a basement and get Buffalo.
Yes.
It's like weed in New York. It's like you can get it, but you can get the good stuff. And the good stuff in Buffalo is the good stuff.
Also, I get you can make the argument that barbecue itself, when you hear barbecue, you could think a couple different cities.
This is true. It's a great point.
I like that. I like that from you, Craig.
When you hear Buffalo wing, obviously, it's in the damn name. Wings, Buffalo.
Buffalo's the one seed. That's my vote is for Buffalo in the one hole.
Oof. I'm going Kansas City in the one hole.
It's up to Craig. Craig breaks the tie, Jacobs.
This is an NFL playoff matchup. We got to go with the Buffalo wing. I don't want Bills Mafia on our backs. We're going Buffalo 1.
Bang. Okay. All right. So Buffalo against Cincinnati, which has a kind of historical, resonance anyway, right? Like a true AFC old school, Midwest matchup kind of thing. Western New York, Midwest. Okay. All right. Well, so Jacoby, we got Buffalo at 1, Cincinnati at 4. As between the 2 and the 3, do we say the Chiefs? We say the Kansas City barbecue in that 2 slot. Kansas City barbecue would be 2, and the Tennessee hot chicken is 3? Is that where we're going to end up?
Well, I will say that we haven't celebrated Gus's chicken and the Nashville hot chicken sandwich, because I'm old enough to remember 2 years ago when the hot chicken sandwich became a thing on the internet.
A craze.
And everybody talked about it. And I'm old enough to remember South by Southwest, where there was a Gus's a block away from my hotel, which I ate breakfast at. You know what my breakfast was?
Fried chicken.
Hot chicken. Fried chicken.
Yeah.
And it was 10:30 and I was waiting for them to open.
Yeah. That's right.
So I'm going to put Nashville in the 2 spot.
Okay. Okay. That you just put it over Kansas City, which you made a passionate argument for as the one seed.
Listen, if you think I'm consistent, then you're wrong. If I'm hypocritical, then you're right.
I mean, it is cocktail hour after all, so it's perfectly understandable. Craig, do you have a point of view, a strong point of view on Tennessee versus Kansas City in the two seed?
Taste-wise, I think hot chicken is one of my favorite things I could eat. And there's a bunch of great restaurants in LA. Howlin' Ray's, Dave's, Angry Birds. I love hot chicken to death. I love sweating my ass off. I love feeling actually a little bit nervous about how hot it is.
So somehow we just went from argument.
But I'm not saying that it deserves to be second, but in my heart, it's second.
Oh, no. We all know that Kansas City barbecue deserves that spot, but I'm going to take everybody behind the scenes. I'm going to say something that you guys are scared to say. Craig asked me, do I want mild, medium, or hot chicken?
Yeah, we'll be tasting these next week. Spoiler, yeah.
And what did I say, Craig?
You said hot.
And what did
he said say? It's not called Nashville medium chicken.
What did you say, House?
Hot. I asked him what you did. I said,
no, you wanted medium. You wanted medium. Oh. Don't lie from the microphone.
This is all true because I understand from Danny Chow's breakdown, which I've
digested. We're all going to die next week.
Yeah, it's biblical, the experience of eating it the hot way, but it's fine. I follow your lead. When Craig said, well, Jacoby wanted it hot, I said, well, then we get it hot. That's the answer. The answer is hot. Jacoby gets what Jacoby wants. That's all.
Ain't no such thing as halfway cooks.
Bing bong. Bing bong. Bing.
So, House, where do you lie here with a 2-3 seed situation?
I'm fine with Tennessee in the 2, but my view is that Kansas City belongs there. But we're going up ahead against each other, and we're not giving a home field advantage.
I think that Kansas City is the 2 seed.
Okay.
I think that
all right.
We should come up with a home field advantage. Do you eat first if you're home? Do we taste test first or last?
I love where your head says.
We should have a home field advantage between that, a home belly advantage, a home plate advantage, a home table advantage between now and when we reconvene next week. We will have ironed this out. There is going to be a slight nudge, but the seating really does create, you know, an opportunity here. So LFGO, let's go. We've got it all ironed out. We've got our seeds. We've got the food. The food's, I've got a bunch in my fridge already.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going
to
try
ready
all
to go. We're going to try them all.
That's the good thing. It's like, you know, it's going to be a good time when you're like excited about it, but you're also like kind of scared. Like I'm kind of scared. Like, it's like, you know, it's going to be a good time. And you're like a little bit terrified, but a little bit excited. And that's the journey we're going to go on.
Well, we're going to have to figure out a strategy. In addition to the home plate advantage, I think we have to eat the hot chicken last, because if we eat it first, we might not be able to taste any of the other food.
That's probably right.
Just putting that out there.
I had the Reaper level hot tender from Dave's Hot Chicken in LA. I wasn't the same for 48 hours.
Yeah, we can't do that. We can't do that to ourselves.
I appreciate it if you didn't say that. That made me feel better.
My belly buddies, we've done it. That's seeds 1 through 4. We've got the AFC on lock. We are going to eat next week. You hear what these matchups are going to be. If you got some thoughts on it, belly source us. Both the House of Carbs Instagram feed and the House of Carbs Twitter feed are alive and ready for your input. There we go, my taste buds. Until next week, stay hungry out there.